Now that's what you call a lights out performance. You know, I guess the good news is, since I started using my iPad, I don't need light. So, I don't know about you, but tonight seems kind of surreal to me. While I believed firmly what God told me 15 years ago, that the day was coming, never really expected it to get here. I'm really not too concerned about a whole lot of tears tonight. I'm more concerned about you guys punching me in the face as you leave. Because, you know, I've really been praying, what do I say? I mean, what do I say tonight? I don't want to leave and tonight's message be all about me or about us. I really want tonight's message to be something that challenges you, that encourages you, that, you know, motivates some of you maybe. And so I've really been thinking about and praying about, what does God want to say through me tonight to you? You know, we've been here 15 years. And we've been here 15 years because we were committed to the vision God has given to this church. You know, and many of you, probably all of you by this point, have heard the vision. You know, we've built this building. It's 70,000 square feet. There's still the third phase, another 30-some thousand square feet to finish. We've been talking about finishing that work. That's a part of the vision that God gave to this church. He gave this church the vision to build a senior community where our seniors could live and not have to worry about, you know, cleaning the snow off and the utilities and all the other things that go into. They would have a place. They wouldn't have to worry about the taxes and the mortgage payments. Part of our vision has been to build a college. So there's so much work that's left to do. And to be honest with you, one of the reasons why I struggled with leaving is the work isn't finished, and we bought into and we were committed to the vision that God gave this church many, many years ago. And so for me to leave kind of feels like a little bit of a failure because the work isn't done. And yet, the longer we've went and the more we've went through this process, the more convinced I am that God's moving us. We've been here 15 years because my family has been committed to doing all we could to help push the vision this church had forward. I'll never forget the day I was out on the ball fields when All-Stars Baseball was in its infancy. And I was out there every night after work. I would leave work, I would come here, and I would work till dark. On Saturday mornings, I'd be here as early as I could get here. Usually, I greeted the sun, and I was here all day. And I'll never forget the day my wife pulls up, and Kelly pulls up, and all the kids are in the car, and she says to me, I told our kids, if they want to see their father, this is where he is. And so they came and worked right alongside me. And we have pictures that I love to see of my kids grilling hot dogs underneath the tent in front of the weenie wagon that we had out there years ago for our concession stand. Some of you remember that. It brings back smiles to think about, we thought we had this tent that we were going to be able to use all summer long. Nobody ever uses the tent. That's what we said. 2 weeks into the season, somebody else wanted the tent. We had to take it down. No pavilion, no bathrooms, no trees. Just us and the sun. We were committed to those things because very on in our time here, we were convicted by the call of God on our lives. I was deeply convicted by what I believed God asked me to do. And so tonight I want to talk to you. About a year ago, year and a half ago, I did a series called Words Christians Hate. And one of the messages in that series was called Conviction, and we talked about how Christians, and really people of all walks of life, quite honestly, really hate to be convicted, because it brings us to a place where there's some sort of an action that has to follow. Well, tonight I want to ask you, what has God been convicting you of? You know, maybe there's somebody here tonight that's being convicted of where they are at in relation to Jesus Christ. Maybe there's a person sitting here tonight who's never surrendered their life to Christ. And so you're going to walk out of the building tonight not really sure of what would happen to you if something happened to you on the way home. Maybe there's somebody sitting here tonight that's being convicted of their need to buy into and get involved in and to do their part in the vision that this church has been called to. And so I want to challenge you tonight with, what are you being convicted of? You know, maybe there's sin in your life that God wants to be gone. Maybe there's a habit in your life that He wants you to break. Maybe there's a hole that God wants to fill. Most people really dislike the feeling of being convicted. But conviction is where lost people meet Christ. I know when I got saved, it was conviction that brought me to the point of understanding that I needed a Savior. And so conviction is what brings you to the point of meeting Jesus. If you're here tonight and you're being convicted because you don't even know who this Jesus is, that feeling inside of you is the Holy Spirit saying you need to meet Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 1, Paul says, "For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that He's chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction." You know, my prayer tonight is that as we get ready to say goodbye, that we say goodbye to a group of people that are deeply convicted to picking up the work and carrying on. I told our Bible class, I get to teach, or I've been teaching the boys in our school. And a few weeks ago, I told our juniors and seniors, the guys that I told you a couple of weeks ago are the guys that are about ready, they're ready, really, not about, to step in and start carrying some of the load. And I said to them, you know, someday I'm going to die. And this was before I was fully convinced I was leaving, because I was still fighting it. And I said, when I die, somebody needs to reach in my pocket and take my keys and carry on with the work. There they are, guys. Those are all my keys to this building. To the front door, to all the internal doors, to the pavilion, to the ball fields. Somebody has to pick up the keys. So conviction is where lost people meet Jesus. Conviction is what turns our lives around. It requires us to act, or we're forced to try to suppress whatever the conviction is that we're under. Conviction drives us to a commitment. When you look at the dictionary defines a conviction, or a conviction as the act of convincing a person by argument or evidence. So the Holy Spirit is trying to convict us, trying to convince us of a commitment that needs to be made. Some might want us to use the word preference, a little more wiggle room. But when you look at the word conviction, according to David C. Gibbs, Jr. of the Christian Law Association, he talks about what the United States Supreme Court says about conviction and preferences. They state that a preference is a strong belief, but a belief that you will change under the right circumstances. So if you have a preference under the right circumstances, that preference will go away. You're willing to walk away from a preference in the right situation. But a conviction is a belief that you will not change. Why? Why will we not change a conviction? Well, the Supreme Court says it's because a man believes that his God requires it of him. A conviction is something that comes from God and convinces us we are required. You know, when I came here and was willing to surrender to the call that I believe God had placed on my life, it wasn't a choice. I didn't feel like I had an option anymore. I felt like I had ran and that I had run out of places to run to. And the only place left was to follow God. A conviction is not something that you're going to discover. It's something that you purpose in your heart. Convictions on the inside, listen to this, will always show up on the outside in a person's lifestyle. Your convictions reveal themselves in your lifestyle and in the things that you do. I've been teaching the boys all year long. One of the things that we've talked about more than once is that inside a Bible study, and Bible studies are great, don't get me wrong with what I'm going to say here, but inside a Bible study in a classroom is just theory. It's just theory. Because inside that Bible study, when a really tough question is asked, everybody goes, oh yeah, I'd be the one. I mean, when you start asking the question, who's willing to go out and share your faith? Every hand in the classroom goes up. I'll go do it. Then the Bible study ends and the door opens. And you walk through the door and all of a sudden you're faced with the reality of, am I willing to take the theory and go practice it? Well, if you're convicted to go share your faith, you go out and share your faith because that conviction is so deep inside of you, it says you have no choice. But if it's just a preference, if it's just something you're, well, yeah, that sounds like a really good idea, you can walk out the door and never say anything to anybody about what you believe. To violate a conviction, the Supreme Court says, would be a sin. And we really hate that. You know, we don't like being convicted because we don't like feeling like we're wrong. We know we will or we're going to have to admit guilt to a wrongdoing. It's one of the reasons that some people struggle with the whole idea of getting saved in the first place. I got to admit I'm a sinner. I got to admit there's something wrong with me. Well, if you're here tonight and you're being convicted about your need for a Savior, let me tell you something. There was something wrong with me. Some of you might say there still is. You know, a conviction brings us to a place where we know we're going to have to do something. And usually it's something we don't want to do, it's something we're not comfortable doing, or it's something we feel like we're unprepared to do. Our convictions bring us to a place of commitment. And that's really what I want us to focus on tonight, is the commitment part of this. For the lost person, it's a commitment to follow God. It's a commitment to surrender their lives to Christ. And for a Christian, it's the commitment to serve God and serve His church. Some people do everything they can to avoid the circumstances that cause convictions. You know, we don't want to feel the burden of a conviction on us. Some people will skip church. I did for years, guys. I skipped church, and you know, you've heard my testimony. I don't have to tell you the whole thing again. But for more than 20 years, because I knew if I went in a church somewhere, there was a good chance I was going to run into something I wanted no part of. So people skip church for fear of being convicted. I think it may be one of the biggest reasons why Christians skip on Sunday morning, is they're afraid they're going to be convicted. Or maybe they're already convicted and they don't want to respond. There's always a reason they'll state, but I really wonder. You know, and if we're never faced with the circumstances that might convict us, we never have to deal with those emotions. We never have to deal with the convictions themselves. In 2 Corinthians 7, starting in verse 8, Paul says, even if I caused you sorrow by my letter, I don't regret it. Though I did regret it, I see that my letter hurt you, but only for a little while. Yet now I'm happy, not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led you to repentance. For you became sorrowful as God intended, and so were not harmed in any way by us. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. You know, when you look at this passage, You back up a little bit. Paul has scolded the Corinthian church, and the people were hurt by the things that he had said. They were convicted by those things. Paul says he's happy, but not because because he hurt their feelings, but because their sorrow has led them to a place of conviction and to a place of repentance. It brought them back into a right relationship with God, which is really the first point of tonight's message, is that the value of conviction is to bring us back to a right place with God. Their convictions were leading them towards some new commitments. Conviction isn't a word we like. It's a painful experience sometimes. But it's those convictions that God uses to guide us on the path that He has for us. And so maybe, quite honestly, maybe we should embrace our convictions. My prayer tonight is that you've been convicted over the last few weeks. Maybe you're here tonight, and like I said earlier, you don't have a relationship with Christ, and maybe God's convicting you to surrender yourself to Him. And if He is, listen, there's all sorts of fear that wells up inside of us when we think about walking forward in church and asking God to forgive us. There's all sorts of concern about what everybody else is going to think. And yet God called every single person publicly. And He was crucified publicly for our sins. I think it's the least we can do to walk forward in front of a group of people. And as you're walking forward, if that's you tonight, just know that around you are a group of people that have made the same walk and the same journey. But tonight, if you're a Christian, if you're one of the believers here tonight, maybe God's convicting you to surrender yourself to Him, to surrender your life, to surrender your family, to surrender your commitments to God and His church, to be committed to doing your part in this church. Kelly and I and others have been committed to doing our part for 15 years. And I don't want it to seem like we're the only ones, because there's been a lot of people that have pulled on the same rope. But understand this, sometimes we've pulled on your rope too. I think it was about 14 years ago when our media people left, and they asked me, would you be willing to handle media? And my first thought was, I don't mind working on a computer. I can figure anything out on a computer if you give me enough time. And it's probably only going to be for 6 or 8 months anyway. Somebody else is going to want to do this. 14 years later. Now, I don't tell you that because I want you to back out of a commitment. I tell you that because I can't believe in this church, a church of this size, that there aren't more people who have an ability and the talent to use a computer who can't sit in that media booth and do what I do or what Chris is doing right now. My fear for Chris is 14 years from now, I'm going to come back and he's still the only guy back there. That's just an example. You know, there are so many things that you are gifted and prepared for. You know, every experience that we have in life is preparing us and positioning us to do whatever it is that God has asked us to do. Everything. You've not went through a single experience in life that hasn't prepared you and equipped you to serve somewhere in God's church. Pastor Randy asked me and Kelly to give him a list of the things that we're involved in. And I was kind of embarrassed because my list wasn't as long as hers. But listen, you want to know where to plug yourself in? Go look at the list and see what's on that list and what you can do that can serve God's church. Rich can't keep taking everything that comes his way. I mean, I feel bad. Because it seems like every time there's something to be done, it's Rich that's stepping up saying, I'll do it. Where's the rest of us? Where's everybody else? And maybe some of you are stepping up. Don't get me wrong. There's probably many of the others that are here tonight that are stepping up. But I also have to believe in a church of this size that there are more people that are being convicted of their need to step up than are actually surrendering to that step up. Years ago, When Josiah Bland graduated, you guys all know who Josiah is, right? I don't have to tell anybody, explain to anybody. Coach Mike and I cried on each other's shoulders. Where are we going to get another 6'7 guy that can clean up the inside and rebound and score? And we finally, after the tears ran out, said, you know, we just have to trust that God's going to bring us somebody to fill that hole. And lo and behold, the next fall, he brought us Amari. And those of you that know Amari, Amari was 6'5", was one of the most athletic kids I ever saw. And when he left, you know, we looked at each other and said, well, I don't know where another one like him comes from. But one of the things that we started talking about was how sometimes you have an addition through subtraction. And here's what I believe is going to happen. Kelly and I are leaving. Pastor Clark's leaving. And you know what I figure is going to happen? Is that a whole bunch of people are going to step up. Some of you already are, but a whole bunch of people are going to step up and start saying, I'll do this, and I'll do that, and I'll serve here, and I'll lead here, and I'll lead that. And the next thing you know, instead of having, you know, 10 people or 20 people that are divvying up most of the work, all of a sudden there's 50 people or 100 people that are divvying up that same work. You know, I've taught in my Sunday school class when I teach on tithing. We talk about how, you know, God commands us to give the first 10% of everything we have to the church. And it seems like that many times we stop with the money side of things. But when you start thinking about what the Bible says to give 10% of everything you have, which means you have about 2.5 hours a day you owe the church. No, I'm just kidding. But not totally. When you start thinking about 2.5 hours of your day, every day, you know, and picture this for just a moment. Church of 400 people. 400 people here on Sundays. And if you had 400 people who were giving to God financially the way He's commanded us to, and if they were serving in the manner that God's commanded us to, picture this. 400 people getting up every day, spending an hour in study time and prayer time with God. Picture this. 400 people every day showing up at church with an hour and a half to give to the church. Now, I'm not the greatest mathematician, so Pastor Clark can correct me if I'm wrong, but that's 600 hours a day, I believe. Can you imagine what the church of God would be able to do with the resources financially and the hours of 600 hours a day? 4,200 hours a week. Do you think a community would have any need that wasn't met? Do you think there'd be starving people on the streets? Do you think that there would be millions of lost people walking around with no clue that they're lost? Do you think churches would have to go into debt to pay for their buildings? Do you think churches would struggle to pay their staff? I don't think so. This building would be done, paid for, and maybe the senior community done and paid for and building the college. God has an enormous ability. And I think the thing that we have to do as believers is we have to be willing to surrender fully and commit fully to what it is that God calls us to do. Let God bless your life and your family's life. I'm going to tell you, 15 years here, and many nights, Kelly and I went home and just kind of plopped into the bed, just exhausted. And our kids have too. But I'm going to stand here tonight and tell you that we have been enormously blessed over the last 15 years. And I kind of feel sorry for those that haven't committed themselves to the things that God's asked them to, because you've missed out. You've missed out on some of that blessing, some of the things that we've experienced. And my prayer is, as we leave, that more of you get involved and get committed and get to experience the things that we experienced and get to see God in the way that we've seen God. I'm going to close with this. Pastor Randy and I were talking before the service, and you know, I stood here 2 weeks ago and was talking about how, you know, I had two companies that were going to be offering me jobs. Well, Tuesday, Kelly and I are talking, and we were getting a little nervous. She says, "You have no job. We don't have a house. Our refrigerator quit. We're not taking the washer and dryer with us because the washing machine's on its last leg. You know, we're just going down the list of all these things that are just falling apart and the things that we don't have." And I looked at her and I said, "You know what? That's all true, but we just have to keep believing. You know, if we believe this is the direction God has sent us in, then we have to believe that God's going to keep opening doors. Yesterday, I signed a contract with a company to go to work, and I'm going to make, this isn't intended to be bragging, but this is to tell you and to show you the kind of ways that God blesses you. My base salary is going to be equal, almost equal, to what I made the very last year at the company I used to work for." That's God opening up the floodgates of heaven, in my opinion. And so all of a sudden, the job issue's off the table. You know, I signed a contract yesterday morning. They put me on the payroll yesterday. And they're sending the moving money as an advance. Okay? That's how God provides, folks. That's how God opens doors. And so now we have the freedom and the ability to go find a place to live. You know, and so you think about the commitment that maybe God is asking you to make. You know, and you're nervous as all get out because you have no idea where it's going to lead and what it's going to look like when you get there. But all God's asking you to do is take the first step. And for us, the first step after months and months of wrestling with it was to say, "We're leaving." And then all of a sudden, doors start opening. You know, and we've committed to it. And now God begins to light the path. You know, when Pastor Randy prayed earlier that we would find the church that God has for us, well, there's no doubt in my mind. My only prayer is that God would make my eyes sharp enough to see the path that he wants us to go on to find that church. Because there's no question that he's got a place for us. Tonight I want to leave you with this thought. What are you committed to? You know, and are you really committed to serving God and experiencing God the way he wants you to? And what are you holding back from him tonight? One final thought. Someone asked me this week how the church was going to survive without us. I said the same way you did for 39 years before we got here. Nothing's changed, except there's 400 people here instead of 75, and you're in a brand new building instead of the old building on Friar Street. But the mission and the work of God is the same, and the vision that God gave to this church is the same as it was. Nothing's changed. We're leaving. Friday afternoon, the moving truck's going to close its doors, and we're headed for Texas. But trust me when I say this. Our prayers are forever going to be here and for the work here. And we're really looking forward to hearing the stories about the mountains that God is going to move in the months that lie ahead as you continue to do the things that God has called you to. And there's going to be some sorrow that we don't get to personally see those things. But for those of you who are committed to doing the work, that are willing to step up and do whatever it takes to push that vision forward, you're going to get a front row seat to some absolutely impressive things that God's going to do. Question is, are you willing to step into what it is God's calling you to? Are you willing to make that kind of a commitment, whatever it takes, wherever God leads you? My prayer for you tonight is that you will. Let's pray. Lord, as we stand before you tonight, or sit before you tonight, God, I'm so thankful for the privilege it's been to see your awesome hands at work in this church and in this community, in this body of believers, in the lives of the people who've been changed, in my own life, in the life of my wife and my family. God, I'm so thankful that, you know, 15 years ago I came here with, you know, my own salvation, my wife's salvation, but four lost kids. And we leave with four kids that are bound for eternity with you. And we're so thankful for that. Lord, I'm so thankful for the hours that we've spent serving your church. And God, forgive me. Forgive us for the mistakes that have been made. Lord, tonight I lift those that are here. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that has never committed their life to you. They don't even know who you are. And Lord, this hasn't been the most gospel-centered message there is, but you have a way of speaking into a heart in spite of that. And so Lord, tonight, if there's somebody here that has never accepted you as their Savior, God, would you bring them tonight? Bring them into that saving grace of your Son, Jesus. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters that are here tonight. Some of them have stepped up and they've committed themselves to doing everything it's going to take to push the vision you've given to us forward. Lord, I pray you give them the strength and the courage and the ability to continue to press on and to fight on through all the difficulties and the struggles that are going to be ahead for them, knowing that at the end of those struggles, they're going to see you show up and do some mighty and incredible things. Lord, I lift to you tonight my brothers and sisters that are here that you've convicted them of the need to get involved, their need to serve, their need to be committed to your work right here. Lord, I pray tonight that you would bring them and they'd get on their knees in front of you and they would make the commitment to do whatever it is that you've asked them to do, no matter the cost, no matter what it takes. Raise up an army, God, inside this church. Pastor Randy, Pastor Joe, they're going to need a small army of people that are willing to do whatever it takes to push the vision you've given them forward. As the band plays tonight, what's God said to you? You know, if you're here tonight and you never asked Jesus to be your Savior, would you come? Tonight's the night. If you're here tonight and you're really not involved like maybe you should be, God's asked you to do something, you've been reluctant, you've just really not surrendered to whatever it is that God's asking you to do, would you come tonight and commit to Him, to partner with Pastor Randy and Pastor Joe to do whatever it takes to push the vision of this church forward? There's a lot of work left to do. There's a lot of God stories and a lot of experiences with God still to be had. Whatever it is that God's asking you to do tonight, would you be willing to make that commitment? Would you be willing to come in front of everybody and make that commitment?